This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawla. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the class of Ulum al-Quran, the sciences of the Quran. Today, inshallah, we will discuss the tafsir of the Quran. We will start with the tafsir of the Quran. And we want to start with the meaning of the tafsir. Since it's the major science of Ulum al-Quran, we need to know what's the meaning of tafsir. There are books of tafsir. So what do we mean by tafsir? In Arabic, tafsir means unveiling, explaining. It has two meanings, to explain and to unveil. It's derived from the word fasr. Fasr. So let's now try to get the religious meaning of the tafsir. How can we define tafsir? Scholars in Arabic, they define the tafsir with three words only. That's the definition of tafsir. They said, bayan ma'ani al-Qur'an. Three words. That's the tafsir. So what's the tafsir? If someone asked you, what are you studying? And you said, I'm studying tafsir. What do you mean? What's the tafsir?
Explanation of the Quran.
Explanation of the meanings of the Quran. Exactly. Or unveiling the meanings of the Quran. That's it. Three words. Bayan ma'ani al-Quran. That's the definition of tafsir. Explaining the meanings of the Quran. Because that's actually the purpose. That's why we study tafsir. Now we will discuss the differences amongst scholars, why they differed in tafsir. Some people ask this question. You have one book, which is the Quran, so why they differed in tafsir? First of all, you need to remember that the differences among the scholars, it's not differences of contradiction, which means they did not say about one thing, it is halal, and other scholars said about the same thing, it is haram. Or one scholar said it is four, and another scholar said it's two. We don't have this kind of contradiction. It's very, very rare. But rather what we have in tafsir is tafsir of variation. So it's not contradiction. It is variation. They explain something with one word. Others come and explain the same thing with different word, and they mean the same thing. And that's what most scholars said, and that's what we have in the book. Most of the differences in the tafsir, it's different. They are differences of variations, not contradiction. So this is the first thing which is very important. But now, we will move to one of the reasons of the differences amongst the scholars of tafsir. And this is mentioned in this book, page 56, the introduction to the tafsir, and whoever does not have it, it is mentioned in this book, page 31. This book, Tafsir Ibn Kathir 31, and this book, page 56. But we will not read now, just follow with me please. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his job was to explain the meanings of the Quran. And we mentioned that if you wanted to interpret the Quran, you refer first to the Quran itself, then to the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ, then to the companions who took the tafsir from the Quran. Upon the battle of Yarmouk, which happened in the year 12 of Hijrah, or 14, after this battle, the companions found some narrations from the people of Book, from the children of Israel. And because of that, some companions like Ubay bin Ka'b, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma, or even Ibn Abbas, they narrated from these narrations. And that caused some differences in tafsir. Now, what's the correct stance? As a Muslim, what you're supposed to do if you hear a narration from the people of book? And nowadays, people talk a lot about something in our life that happened now. Did Isa alayhi salam marry? Did he have children? What do you say? If someone came and said the Bible or the Old Testament, the New Testament, they say that he had a child. He was married. What do we do? We have the answer. We have the answer from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Transmit to others what you hear from me, even if it was one ayah. وَحَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجٍ. And there is no harm in quoting from the children of Israel. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. What do you understand from this? What do you understand from this hadith? There is no harm in quoting from the children of Israel. What does that tell you?
You're allowed to quote
from them. So if you found in their book that Isa alayhi salam was married, is it okay to say he was married? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. You found in their book that Isa alayhi salam was God.
No.
No? Why? You just said yes and now you're saying no. What about the hadith? It says, quote from them. There is no harm. This hadith is not general without exceptions. There are exceptions. Yes. You can quote from them as long as it does not contradict. But here in the hadith, it doesn't say that. It says there is no harm. There is another hadith, actually. Now, this hadith, it's in Al-Bukhari, in Sahih Al-Bukhari. This hadith is very famous. But we have another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, do not believe or disbelieve them. لا تصدقوا أهل الكتاب ولا تكذبوهم. Why? Because maybe what they are telling is the truth. And you don't know. So if you don't believe them, what will happen? You rejected the truth. And maybe what they are saying is a lie. And you said, I believe them. Then you are believing a lie. That's why you don't believe and you don't disbelieve. So we have two ahadith. All the traditions of Bani Israel, it should be understood in context of those two ahadith. Therefore, scholars divided the narrations of Bani Israel to three categories. So whenever someone tells you, do we accept the narrations of the children of Israel? Do we reject them? You cannot say yes or no. You have to mention the detailed answer, which includes three categories. You say there are three categories. The first one, we can regard as true. So we believe in it. The second category, we disbelieve it. We can regard as false. We say that's a lie. That's rejected. The third one, we shall neither believe nor disbelieve. So the traditions, the Israeli traditions, they are of three types. One type, we believe in it, we take it. Another type, we reject it, we disbelieve in it. Third type, we just leave it. We cannot accept it, nor can we reject it. So we have three types. The first type, which we can accept, why do we accept it? Not because it is from the people of book, but because we have something in our religion that supports what they are saying. Or what they are saying supports what we have. So we accept it as a supporting evidence by itself, not as a separate evidence. So the first category, the narrations that we accept from them, those narrations, we have the truth. And they are on the same page. An example for this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. The story of the creation of Adam, very similar. So if they came and they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with his hand. This is a narration. Do we accept it?
Yes.
Why we accept it? Because it's narration from the children of Israel? No, because we have it in our book. So it supports what we have. A narration came saying that Nuh alayhi salam drank alcohol. And consequently he fornicated with women. Do you accept this?
No.
Of course no. Why? It contradicts our religion, our belief in the prophets and messengers. A narration came with something that we don't have in our religion. Do you accept it or you reject it? You say, Allahu Alam, Allah knows best. We do not accept it, nor do we reject it. So whatever came in our religion, and we find it the same thing in their book, we accept it. Because it supports what we have. It could be as a supporting evidence to what we have. Whatever came contradicting what we have in our religion, we reject it. Whatever came that we don't have any information about it, we stop. We say, that's what we don't know. We cannot say, yes, it's true, because maybe it's a lie. And there is no way, there is no way to be able definitely to know whether it's true or false. There is no way. How can you verify their narrations? They did not have. That's why Islam is unique. We have in our religion, we have the science of ulum al-hadith, hadith terminology, where we study, we analyze the narrations. We have the men, narrators, whether we credit or discredit them. But about their narrations, we cannot say it's true or false. The nature of these narrations, the narrations of the people of book, mostly it deals with some details about stories that maybe we have in our book, in the Quran. Like the story of the cow, which will come with us, inshallah, later on in this semester. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this story that they were instructed, the children of Israel, they were instructed to strike the dead man with part of the cow. Which part of the cow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention in the Quran. Why? Because it doesn't help you to know. There is no great benefit in knowing the part of the cow. That's the nature of the Quran. It focuses only on the lessons. It mentions only the things that will help you. It doesn't go to the details that will not help you. So if a narration came from the children of Israel and it says, he was struck, that dead man, they struck him by the tail, or with the leg, or with the head of the cow. We don't know. We don't know. Or the type of the tree that Adam alayhi salam ate from. Allah asked Adam not to eat from that tree in paradise. And he ate. What was that tree? We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention that. Maybe in the books of the children of Israel, you will find that they are telling you it's the apple tree. We don't know. Whether it's apple tree, grape, anything, we don't know. Allah mentioned the story and mentioned the things that we will learn from. Adam alayhi salam was commanded not to eat and he ate. Iblis seduced Adam and his wife and they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sought forgiveness, they asked for the forgiveness and they were forgiven. That's what you need to know. Other than that, you don't need to know. So some people came and they tried searching. What's the part of the cow that this man was struck by? Some people came and said the color of the rod of Musa alayhi salam. What was the color of the rod? It was a stick. We don't know what was the color of it. Would that change the story if it was black or red or white? It doesn't help you. So these are some differences caused by the Israeli traditions. Now we will move to the differences, the other differences amongst the scholars. What are these reasons for their differences? And remember again, their differences are differences of variation, not differences of contradiction. We have, number one, differences in expression. They express something by specific words. Others express the same thing with other words. So this is the first type. Differences in expression. Then we have differences in illustration. This is another reason. Then we have differences due to ambiguity. The word can refer to several meanings, so it's ambiguous. You don't know which meaning you choose. And differences in choice of words. Do you choose this word or that word? These are some reasons. These are not all the reasons. We will continue, inshallah, after we finish this with the book, to go through all the reasons. So these are few differences, and we will discuss them one by one. The first one, differences in expression. Differences in expression. How this happens? Expressing one idea with different words. That's how it happens. It's the same idea, but you express it in different words. One of the scholars, he may bring or he may mention one aspect of the idea, and another scholar, he may bring another aspect of the same idea. Two different aspects for the same idea. Does that change the idea itself? It does not, because they are talking about the same idea but with different aspects. To give you a clearer example from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the Quran, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Call him Allah or call him Ar-Rahman. Now if someone said, I'm calling on Allah, and another one said, I'm calling on Ar-Rahman, are they calling on two different gods, or it's the same God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's the same God, but we have two different names now, Ar-Rahman and Allah. So it is the same. Now, in reality, is this a true difference? It's not a true difference. Yes, you may say Allah is different than Ar-Rahman. The word is different. But it's talking about one God, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cannot really consider this as a difference. It's only difference in expression. Is this example clear? Okay. Now this is the first reason. The second reason, differences in illustration. Differences in illustration. What do we mean by that? A scholar explains a general term while mentioning one of its kind in a way of illustration. Another scholar comes with a different way, but again they are talking about the same thing. Now they don't mention different aspect of the idea or different word. It's a different way, but it's the same thing. How? Someone came and asked about the meaning of bread. What is bread? Or soda. Someone asked, what's soda? And you showed him the Sprite can. You told him, this is soda. What did you mean by that? This is an example. Another one came with Coke or with Pepsi, and he said, this is soda. You cannot say they are two different things, because all these beverages, they are soda. Root beer, Sprite, Coke, 7-Up, Pepsi, all of them are talking about the same thing. Now what happened here? It's different than the previous one. You chose part of the thing itself to illustrate it, to show it. The same thing with coffee. Someone asked, what's the American coffee? And you brought to him decaf, cappuccino, or whatever, any type of these coffees. Just to remind him that this is like, the like of this is the coffee. That's what we mean by difference in illustration. Look, an example, look at the example of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ آتَيْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed three types of people. Read the ayah, read the translation. Allah gave the book to the chosen ones, as if they inherited it. Of those people, of the Muslim nation, there are those who are zalimun, who are doing injustice to themselves. And there are those who are just, fair. And there are those who are good doers. So now we have, what? Three levels, three groups. If someone came and asked, who are these three groups? Allah did not mention names. You are from this group. Ahmed from this group. Muhammad from this group. Allah did not say that. Allah mentioned the groups. So if an interpreter came, if a scholar came and he wanted to explain, who are these three groups? What are they? One scholar will come and say, the first group, the wrongdoer, the zalim li nafsi, he is the one who prays after the time is over. He's supposed to pray Maghrib before Isha, but he prays Maghrib after the Adhan of the Isha. While the muqtasid, the one who is average, he prays Maghrib before Isha, but late. And the sabiq bil khairat, the good doer, is the one who prays on time with the jama'ah. So you see now what happened? He came and he gave examples for the meaning. Another scholar came and said, the meaning of ظالم لنفسه, مقتصد, سابق بالخيرات, is this. The first one, ظالم لنفسه, is the one who deals with interest. He charges interest. Because this is ظلم, this is forbidden. The one who's average, مقتصد, is the one who trades. He buys and sells, it is permissible. And the one who's سابق بالخيرات, he's a good doer, is the one who gives in charity. He's the one who gives in charity. Try to compare between the two examples. Now both scholars, they gave very similar examples, but they differed in illustrating the meaning. That's what we mean by differences in illustration. So this is the second type. The third type is the difference in or due to ambiguity. And this happens when the word has several meanings. The word has several meanings. Whether because it denotes two different species of a genus and you choose one of them, or because the word is equivocal. What's the example for this? We have many examples in the Quran. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. عَسْعَسْ in Arabic, it has two opposite meanings. Began and ended. When the night begins or when the night ends. Now again, it's the same word, but the meaning will vary according to the meaning you choose, because it has two meanings. Another example, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah instructed the divorced woman to wait for 3 quru. But what's the qur? Qur in Arabic again means two different meanings. It means the periods during the menses, and it means the purification between the two menses, in between the period. It has two different meanings. So which one you choose? And according to the word that you choose, the meaning will be different. What's the reason for that difference? The ambiguity of the word. Another example. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرٍ وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. What are the 10 nights? Some scholars said it is the nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Other scholars said it is the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, the nights of the Eid, the nights of the Hajj in Dhul Hijjah. Because it's possible that this is the meaning and this is the meaning. The word is ambiguous. It could accept them both. Now we move to the third or to the fourth type of differences amongst the scholars. Choice of words. According to the word they choose, the meaning will be different. And now inshallah, it is time for reading. Now you have lots of reading to do actually in this book. And in this book. In this book, Book of Ibn Kathir Rahimullah, we start from page 29. I asked you already to read from 1 to 50. Did you do that? Yes. Okay, so you should know what I talked about. Few things are not covered here. We will discuss them in this book. So please open the book on page 16. Page 16, chapter 2. Differences in tafsir between the Salaf. And we will start with differences in expression. Go ahead.
Differences in expression. We have the first type when they express one and the same idea with different words, such that one of them brings out one aspect of the idea and the other aspect, even though both refer to the same thing. These explanations are like alternative names which lie between synonyms and antonyms. Examples are the various names for the words, such as al-sarim, the sharp, and al-muhannad, the one.
Yeah. Another example for the first reason for differences, when the word has several meanings. The sword. In Arabic, the sword means, it. You could say al-husam, or al-muhannad, or al-sarim. Now they are all talking about the same thing, which is the sword. So if you say it's Husam, it's Muhannad, that does not mean you're talking about something other than the sword. It is the sword, but it's given another name. Okay, go ahead.
And Al-Muhannad, the one made of the best steel of India, or the various names of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ and the Quran, all divine names refer to one and the same being. That is why to call him by one name is not against calling him by another name. This truth has been mentioned by Allah Himself. Call him Allah or call him Ar-Rahman, by whatever name you call him, it is well, for to him belong all beautiful names.
Okay. I hope this is clear now. There are few pages to further clarify the meaning of this reason of differences amongst the scholars. So we'll move now to the second reason at page 20. Page 20, differences in illustration.
Differences in illustration. We have the second type of variation when the Salaf, while explaining the general term, mention one or the other of its kind by way of illustration, and draw the attention of their listeners to its species instead of offering a definition in terms of its genus and differentia. If a non-Arab were to ask them what is khubz, bread, they might show a raghif, a flat loaf.
Raghif, yes.
Oh, raghif, a flat loaf of bread, and say, this is it. Obviously, what they meant is the thing of that kind, rather than a loaf of bread. An example of this type of difference in tafsir is what has been said about the worst. Then we gave the book for inheritance to such of our servants as we chose. But there are among them those who wrong themselves, al-dhalim li nafsihi, and those who are average in doing their duties, al-muqtasid, and some are by Allah's leave the foremost, al-sabiq.
Okay.
In good deeds.
We mentioned this example. Move to the second page, next page. Statements regarding... Yes.
Statements regarding revelatory background. To this category, the statements regarding the revelatory background of the Quranic verses also belong, particularly the ones which say that a certain verse was revealed in the case of this or that person, as we find in the discussion on the cases of revelation. Asbab al-Nuzul, in various commentaries. It has been said, for instance, that the verse of Zihar came down in the case of the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas. The verse of Li'an was revealed in the case of Uwaymir al-Ajlani or Hilal bin Umayyah. The verse of Khala'lah came down in the case of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, the worst judge in their disputes according to what Allah has revealed, came down in the case of Bani Qurayza and Bani al-Nadir. The worst whoever turns his back that day was revealed at the time of Badr. The worst the witness on your transactions when death approaches
you.
You was revealed in the case of Tamim al-Dari and
okay.
Adi.
This is another, remember what we mentioned about the benefit, the advantage of learning, the reasons of revelation. You need to relate to this also, to this section. Okay, page 23, the third reason, differences due to ambiguity.
Differences due to ambiguity. Another difference which we find in their tafsir concerns words which can mean two different things, either because the words are equivocal, such as qaswara.
Qaswara in Arabic, كأنهم حمر مستنفرة فرت من قسورة. This is in Surah. Which Surah? Surah Al-Muddathir. What's the meaning of qaswara? Qaswara means, could mean lion, or could mean the archer. So lion is an animal, but archer is a human being. But the meaning, it gives you the same meaning, because the animal would flee from the lion as well as it will flee from the hunter. So which one you choose, the meaning will be different according to it. Okay.
Such as kaswara, which means an archer as well as a lion, or as-asa, which means both the advent and the departure of night, or because they denote two different species of a genus or two different members of a class, while only one is, in fact, intended. An instance is the concealed pronomini subject in this verse. Then he approached and came near and was at a distance of but two bow lengths of even nearer.
ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى.
On the words like wal fajr wal layli in
walayalin ashr walayalin ashr
walayalin ashr
walayalin ashr walayalin ashr.
Sorry, it just says it weirdly in here.
Walayalin ashr.
Okay.
Repeat after me.
Walayalin ashr.
Okay.
Sorry.
Walshaf'i walwatr.
Walshaf'i walwatr. In such cases, it is sometimes possible that all the Salaf has said the tafsir of a verse is true. But another time, it may not be true. The first is the case if the verse has been revealed twice, once meaning one thing and the other time meaning another, or if the word is equivocal and possibly means both things. This has been upheld by most of the scholars of the Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanbali schools, as well as many theologians. In the other case, namely the case of the word, which may refer to two quite different things in the same class, the word would be taken in its general connotation, if there is nothing to specify it.
Okay. Move now to the last one.
Okay.
Differences in choice of words.
Differences in choice of words. In order to express an idea, the Salaf have often used words which are very close in their connotation, but which are not synonymous. This has unfortunately been considered as a difference of opinion. It has not been realized that there are very few words in the language which are synonymous in the Quran. They are rare, almost non-existent. It is very difficult to find a word which conveys all the meanings which are conveyed by another word. At best, it will be an approximation. This is one of the reasons why the Quran is inimitable in the verse on the day when the...
Okay, this is important, this statement. You may be asked, why the Quran is inimitable? You cannot imitate the Quran. Why? So you need to know. Okay.
The day when the firmament will be in swift commotion, maur, for example, if you explain the word maur by haraqa, movement, this would be an approximation.
يوم تمور السماء مورا. That's the word that he's talking about, maur.
For maur means a light and swift movement.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you say wahi, revelation, is ilam, communication, or paraphrase, awhayna, we revealed as anzalna, we sent it down, or say that qadiyana.
Yes, exactly. I'll give you an example now. Wahi. What's the meaning of wahi?
Revelation.
What about inspiration? What about sending down? Can you say one of them wrong? No. So this is another example. Okay.
Or say that qadayna to the children of Israel means alamna, informed. Then inform them. All these will only be approximations rather than giving the real meanings. For wahi means swift and secret communication, while qada ilayhim is a special form of information implying the sense of Irsal, sending down, as well as iha, revealing.
Okay. Now, these are how many reasons for differences of tafsir? Four. But remember, all these differences are amongst the scholars of the Salaf themselves. Now, there is another reason for another difference for another reason. It's on page 228. Differences because of the hadith. Because of the hadith. Some people, now we said, if you did not interpret the Quran by the Quran, where do you move? To the hadith. But what if you based your tafsir on a weak hadith? What will happen? So that's another reason of differences. The hadith, the narration. Go ahead, read please, number 28.
Differences in tafsir based on hadith. The differences in tafsir are of two kinds, those which are entirely based on the sunnah and those which are known by other means. For knowledge lies either in authentic hadith or valid deduction, and the hadith either originates from an infallible authority or a fallible one. of the hadith, whether they originate from an infallible authority or a fallible one, these are those about which it is possible to ascertain if they are true, sahih, or weak, da'if, and if they are others about which we cannot ascertain this much. Of the latter kind of ahadith whose authenticity cannot be ascertained, the majority are of no use and need not to be discussed here. But those whose authenticity the Ummah must know and carry with them signs by which we can ascertain their truth. Examples of the first kind of ahadith which are useless and of which there is no way to know the truth are many. For instance, the ahadith concerning the color of the dog that the people of the cave had.
Exactly. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people of the cave, and He mentioned that they had a dog. Did He mention what's the color of that dog? Is it worth it to search and discuss what was the color of their dog? It will not help you. If it will help you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned it in the Quran. So there is no use of spending time in such thing. Okay.
The part of the cow with which Musa alayhi salam hit the dead, the size of the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, and the kind of wood it was made of, and the name of the boy whom Khidr killed, etc.
Okay. Move to the second page, 29, last line. The point I am trying to make. That's what I want you to listen to.
The point I am trying to make is that to find out the truth of divergent ahadith where there is no way to ascertain the truth and where the citation of different opinions does not avail is like finding out the truth about a hadith which does not have anything to prove its authenticity. The other hadith about which we can ascertain whether they are true or false concern things, thank Allah, that matter in life. These are, for instance, a hadith in the books of Tafsir, hadith and military expeditions, maghazi, about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other prophets alayhumu sallam, which are false because they are contradicted by authentic ahadith. This is, however, not something peculiar with ahadith. We also come across it in matters that are known through other means. What I want to say, however, is that ahadith, which are important for religion, have some properties by which we can differentiate the true from the false among them. We know that ahadith regarding tafsir are no better than ahadith regarding wars and expeditions. This is why Imam Ahmad said, ahadith regarding three things, tafsir, military expeditions, maghazi, and wars, malahim, have no chain of narration, isnad. The other version of Imam Ahmad saying is that they have no basis, asl, that is to say that they have no isnad, chain of narration.
What will happen if you say there is no chain of narration? So you will not verify it. Whether you reject it because you don't know whether it's true or not, or you will accept a hadith without knowing or without verifying them. And that will lead. This is another cause why scholars differed in the hadith. Now again, there are lots of things to read. But all what we mentioned so far is differences of the tafsir amongst the Salaf, which we mean amongst the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. There is another reason for the differences in tafsir, but it's not a valid reason. We're not saying it's correct, but it's happening. The tafsir based on the biased or the deviant sects of Islam, just like the Shia, who try to twist the meanings of the ayat. When they say, Ya ayyuhan nabi, yubaligh ma unzil ilayka min rabbik. Deliver what was sent down from Allah to you. They say what was sent down from Allah to you in regards to Ali, that he's the Khalifa. Or about the story of the cow. Indeed, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They said it means Aisha, radiallahu anha. Now, there is no basis for this tafsir, but because they are deviant, they follow their own desires, so they wanted to have the tafsir, to mold the tafsir according to their opinions. And this is in page 42. Could you please move to page 42? We want to finish this issue about the differences in the tafsir. And your job is to read. You have lots of reading, actually. The reasons for differences in tafsir. That's what you need. Only if you answer this question, that's it.
Differences in tafsir as a result of sectarian bias. The second cause for the difference in tafsir concerns reasoning rather than hadith. The errors that have crept into tafsir through this channel have mostly been the result of two things, which appear...
Two things. You need to know them. Okay.
Which appeared after the activity of tafsir by the companions. The successors and their followers had come to an end. They are not to be found in the commentaries that are based on the comments of these three generations.
This is a question here. Why don't we have these differences in the old tafsir, tafsir of the companions? Because at their time, they were united. They did not have these whims and desires to form new meanings that have no basis. But it happened later on. Okay.
They are not to be found in the commentaries that are based on the comments of these three generations, such as the commentaries of Abd al-Razzaq, Waqi, Abd ibn Humayd, Abd al-Rahman.
Yeah, these are the names. He listed the names of the pious predecessors of the scholars who gave the tafsir, and most of them are similar. They did not have differences. Next page, please. Okay.
The first thing that happened was that a people first formed some ideas and then interpreted the Quran in light of those ideas.
Okay, this is the first thing, which is very important. You need to understand how this all happened. I formed an opinion. I saw people, they are following Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, and if I follow them, I will not be famous. I like people to know me. I like fame. So I formed a different opinion, and usually people follow the strange things. Now people want to come to me, but my opinion has no basis. How can I convince them that it is true, what I'm saying is true, what others are saying is wrong? I already formed the opinion, but it has no basis. I come to the ayat, and I try to twist the ayat to support my opinion. So that's what happened. While we as Muslims, we first believe, and according to what the ayah says, we form our opinions. So this is the first thing.
The second thing which happened was that some people began to explain Quranic passages just as any Arabic-speaking person would understand them, without considering who their author was, or to whom they were revealed, and to whom they were addressed.
Very important point as well. Because you may be asked this question. Can you interpret the Quran linguistically only? By the language? Can you or can't you?
No.
Why? It's in Arabic. And people understand Arabic. If Allah sent the Quran in Chinese, people will not understand. But He sent the book in order to be understood. Yet, it's true, you cannot. Because it's not like any other book. It's not a regular book. It's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not forget that it was revealed by Allah. Allah sent down this book. It's the word of Allah. You cannot ignore the incidents that took place, the context of the ayah. So this is the other reason that when people try to ignore the ahadith, try to ignore the seerah, try to ignore the source of the Quran, and they started interpreting the Quran according to the Arabic language only. Yes, the Arabic language could be supporting way to interpret the Quran, but it cannot be a sole method to interpret the Quran. I think this is enough, inshallah. With this, we will conclude our session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.